The following is a presentation of the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Winter, spring, summer, fall. It doesn't matter what the calendar says. It's always baseball season and time for talking about your Minnesota Twins. This is the Twins Hot Stove Show, keeping you connected with your team with the latest news, moves, interviews, and more. We have the bases covered. Now, here is your host of the Twins Hot Stove Show, Chris Atterbury.
Well, good evening. I am Chris Atterbury, and I will be minding the hot stove here on the Hot Stove Show all winter long and into spring and on into the 2018 Minnesota Twins season. We kick things off here on the Hot Stove Show with a welcome, a big welcome to our new Metro affiliate. That, of course, WCCO, the Twins back on CCO in the Metro this year, and very excited for that transition to take place, and we're excited to kick that off here tonight. Well, the winter conditions have belatedly descended all across Twins territory, so it is time to huddle up next to the hot stove, and who better to mind the stove with us here today than Derek Falvey. Derek Falvey is the chief baseball officer of the Minnesota Twins, kind enough to join us here in studio. And Derek, it has been anything but quiet for you since that final out was recorded in New York.
People always ask me when the season ends, so what do you do now? There are no games. I think that's when the front office season begins. So from hiring and building out staff and making sure that our people in a good place, as well as certainly focusing on the team and the build out for 2018 and beyond that, we've had a lot of work to do. It has been quiet in the early going in free agency and trades, but I anticipate that will speed up here soon.
Since the last out, Paul Molitor, named manager of the year, he also was retained here to manage the Twins. Brian Dozier earned a gold glove. Byron Buxton earned gold, platinum, silver, bronze.
Whatever you got,
new medals,
Byron, no doubt.
To give to Byron. So it has been an interesting, you've made some changes in the coaching staff. We're going to get to know Garvin Alston. We're going to get to know Derek Shelton. Quickly, what can you tell us about those two gentlemen?
Well, I think for our staff, you know, we've talked a lot about committing to finding ways to continue to get better and improve in every facet of our game planning, our organization. And we felt like in Garvin, we identified somebody who connects exceptionally well with players. The feedback we got from references, from players, from agents, from people he worked with, just the relationships he'll build with our young pitching staff, I think will speak volumes about who he is as a person and as a pitching coach. And then in Derek Shelton, after Joe Vavra had an opportunity to move over to Detroit, we felt like we identified somebody who had really been training for this job his whole career. I had a chance to work with him a number of years ago, somebody who thinks very deeply about the game, is constantly asking questions, will be a great resource for Paul around game planning and what we're doing in spring training and otherwise. So we're excited to have both men.
Will all of your relatives be getting those Derek Shelton hitting videos now for Christmas? Is that part of the deal?
Yeah, that's it. The hitting stick.
He's a modern-day Tom Mansky, right?
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. He's passionate about hitting, too. No doubt about that.
Well, that's the staff. Now, everyone wants to talk about the players. Shohei Ohtani recently, I mean, that's been the big off-season domino. I guess the question is, how does a budding 19-year-old superstar, international superstar, inform you that he's not going to prom with you? Do you get like a note? Do they send regrets? As someone who's been told, no, I'm not going to prom with you many times, I know this can be communicated in different ways. How did that happen?
Sure. This was a very incredibly professional process. His representatives from the get-go, told us that we had an opportunity to present and ultimately that Ohtani and his family would make decisions around next steps. And certainly it seems like a lean toward the West Coast may be something that ultimately drove the day for some of these decisions. But we felt we put our best foot forward. We put a lot of time and effort into the pitch, and Nez Bilolo, the representative from CAA who we spoke with, was very professional and said he appreciated the interest and they were going with a smaller subset of teams.
Do you believe that once he makes a decision that things are going to pick up some speed? Is this kind of a log in the river here that's going to get pulled out and some gushing water is going to come over?
You know, I think certainly it played some role. I think most teams put together a pitch and spent some time on that. Felt like it was really important to the organization. We certainly did. So it could have maybe slowed things down a bit. I do think that every offseason has its own flow to it, and with this year's crop and the types of players who are out there, we could see more movement at the winter meetings or potentially after. But we're at a stage now where I think it's maybe a little bit atypical, but we've had years in the past where it's been slow at the outset.
Derek Falvey's our guest. It's the Hot Stove Show. Chris Atterbury with you. We'll be here every Wednesday right up through spring training and on into the regular season with Minnesota Twins Baseball Talk. We'll have Jason Castro joining us a little bit later in the program, and he was your first acquisition last offseason. A little different, though, because you've actually had a year now. I think know your system, you know the players in the front office. You're building out, as you mentioned, your team off the field as well as on the field. So has this offseason's pace and priority list been a little different for you and Thad this year?
Well, it's certainly been the pace has been the same. You know, it just stays busy, no doubt. No doubt about it. But I would say that what has changed is our understanding of what we have internally. Certainly trying to get up to speed last year as much as we could on our staff and our players and our major league team and system. And guys here did a great job of helping to inform us. Now we have a much better understanding of where we are, team needs and otherwise. So we'll continue to work the same way we did last offseason, which is pursue every possible avenue to improve this team now and moving forward.
One of those avenues is free agency. The other is trades. Obviously, we saw the draft. You guys did some maneuvering around the trade deadline that allowed you to essentially get some players from the Yankees by essentially buying them using Jaime Garcia. So there's an alternative means of stocking your system. And when you talk about trades, you can only truly trade when you know what you have to trade. Do you feel better about knowing what you have to trade year in year two, now that you're familiar with the system from the bottom up?
Certainly, you have a better idea of your players on a personal level, how they fit into the culture of your clubhouse and your team and what you're trying to build moving forward. I think anytime, double-edged sword a bit, because you also know them so well that you start to become a little bit more attached. But the recognition that our job here is to build the best team we can moving forward, you know, the best group of Minnesota Twins for this organization and this region, and we'll continue to focus our efforts on that, you know, through trade, through free agency, and any other means necessary to acquire those players.
One of the things that happens at the winter meetings, and there are many things that go on, is the Rule 5 draft. You have to choose who to put on the 40-man roster. You've added guys like a Lewis Thorpe, a young Australian we've been hearing about for some time. But I think Twins fans might be surprised by some of the names that aren't protected. A guy like Cole Stewart, Jake Reed, Nick Birdie. These were names that people have been hearing and expecting maybe to see in Minnesota for Twins Fest, not see on a available in the Rule 5 list. Those aren't easy decisions for you to make, I would imagine.
Every year when you go into the protection phase, you're balancing the risk of potentially losing a player against the need for flexibility on your 40-man roster. And I would say that none of those decisions are taken lightly. Some of the players you just mentioned, as well as others, you know, that we thought deeply about and talked about and felt like this was the best decision for right now. It's not, the other part of this is it's not to say that we view those players any differently in terms of our belief long-term, but for right now, for their roster status, those were the decisions we had to make.
Mike Minor just got over $9 million a year for 3 years, a reliever last year, had a nice year in Kansas City. Is that one of the early bars being set on the market when you head to that free agent market, whether it's relievers, whether it's starters, and we'll focus kind of primarily on pitching? It is not the bargain basement.
Well, I think early on in any offseason, certainly you'll see some signings. Whoever comes off the board first, those are numbers that are now on the board. So I think that we certainly recognize that, but it's our view that, you know, we will go into any free agent season valuing players the way we think is most appropriate for our payroll and our team moving forward, and we won't sway from that. So we want to make sure that we're making good, sound, rational investments. And we think back to a year ago, we were one of the early teams to sign somebody in, Jason Castro, who you mentioned, and that was, we felt, the right deal, the right value at the right time. So we'll strike when the price is right on the right players.
For every deal we hear about in the next week, how many deals don't happen that were discussed, not just conversationally, that were discussed in earnest?
Yeah, I think trades, I've said this before, it feels like there are somewhere between 200 and 500 text messages, conversations, emails, or otherwise that go into a discussion around one trade between your internal group, your scouts, your analytics folks, and then certainly the interactions with the other teams. So I would say for every one that gets done, there's maybe 10 of those that go through.
Unlimited data. You need that unlimited data plan.
Yes, exactly.
And make sure
right.
your bill is paid. Derek Falvey, kind enough to join us to kick off the inaugural 2017-18 edition of the Twins Hot Stove Show. Jason Castro coming up next. Any questions for Jason? Yeah, anything you want us to pass along?
Just want to make sure he's doing okay this offseason. Check in on how he's feeling, getting some sleep and rest.
All right. Well, he's got a young son, so I don't know how much sleep he's getting. Hopefully some rest. Derek, have a great time, productive time with your crew down in Orlando. We appreciate it. We'll check back in with you and members of your club throughout the course of the offseason. He's Derek Falvey. He is headed to Orlando for the winter meetings. They'll kick off next week, and the eyes of the baseball world will be upon Orlando as everybody descends there to really get things stirred up prior to the holiday season. We'll take a break here across our network. When we come back, we'll find out just how much rest Jason Castro is getting. It's the Twins Hot Stove Show right here on the home for Team Baseball.
This is the Treasure Island Baseball Network.
Runner goes, great throw, Castro, and a tag applied. Iglesias out number three. A perfect throw from Castro. Iglesias, a feet-first sliding attempt, but he was tagged out by Polanco.
That great throw from Castro was something that Corey, Danny, I said an awful lot of last year, and the man making that throw, Jason Castro, kind enough to join us here on the Hot Stove Show as we continue with our first edition of the Hot Stove Show here in 2017-18. And Jason, we led off with a highlight, and at this point last year, we were welcoming you to the Twins family. It was a very different offseason for you because you were kind of moving on into the next phase of your career. You were a free agent. You'd earned the right to choose where you wanted to play. Looking back, last year, this time, a little different probably than it is for you here in 2017.
And I'm glad that we kind of took that leap and went to Minnesota. We enjoyed ourselves tremendously last year. And, you know, obviously the turnaround that the team had was something that I kind of expected, and you know, it was really great to be a part of. So I'm looking forward to continuing kind of pushing forward with the team over the next couple of years and hopefully, you know, continually improve it.
Is it a little different for you, just more, I guess, relaxing in terms of knowing going into the off season that, hey, I'm going to do my off season program, but I know exactly where I'm going to go. I know my teammates. I know where I'm going to live, as opposed to last year, the uncertainty that came with the end of the season?
Yeah, I think so. Obviously, you know, last year being my first time through free agency and having spent my entire career with Houston, kind of that unknown was a little bit unnerving a little bit, and just, you know, even heading into spring training, not knowing the facilities, not knowing many of the guys or the organization as a whole, that was different. So, you know, having kind of that, you know, kind of behind me now and just a familiarity there of everyone in the organization and just getting those relationships kind of up and going last year and you know, makes a huge difference. And there's that comfort level of coming in and having done it already and knowing all the guys, it just makes it that much easier.
Jason Castro is our guest, and you mentioned relationships, Jason, and you built a lot of them in Houston. And then you sit back and you watch those guys and that city, a city that you're still very much a part of in many ways in the community, win a World Series. What was that like? Was it where you find yourself rooting for them, rooting for the city even, as well as your former teammates? Were you nostalgic at all, wondering, you know, what if and not being a part of the championship?
Yeah, the city had been through a lot with the hurricane and everything, you know, those fans definitely deserved to have something like that. And I'm still close with a lot of those guys with that team. So it was good to see, you know, them pull it out. And I had played with a few of those guys for the majority of my career. So it was fun to watch, but at the same time, it also kind of, you know, makes you hungry that, you know, as a team, that team was so close when I was there, and I see a lot of similarities with the Twins. So it makes me excited for the next few years in Minnesota.
When I talked with Paul Mahler towards the end of the year, I asked him one Sunday morning if he saw any future managers in his clubhouse, and he pointed you out specifically as a guy who, not knowing whether that was something way down the road you'd want to do, had the approach, the mental approach and the thoroughness and the communication skills and the way you see the game, where he felt you'd make a phenomenal manager down the road. Now, that's just your manager talking about what he saw in you in the first year that you guys were together. How do you see yourself as a player last year and moving forward? Because it was year one. Is it a different Jason Castro in year two, or are you just – is that the guy that you've always been, and we're going to see kind of just more of the same in terms of that preparation and your approach on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, I think coming in, one of the things that was pretty important to me was, like I mentioned before, is just establishing those relationships with the pitching staff and I mean, with the team as a whole, but especially with the pitching staff. And that was something that I came in and wanted to really kind of establish first and foremost. And, I feel like we did that in spring training pretty well. And, over the course of the season, I got to know, a lot of the pitchers and work with them pretty closely as far as, the things that I can do to help them be as consistent and as successful as possible. And, I think we made some pretty good strides and, it was fun to see, guys like Berríos make some huge strides forward, had some young guys come up like Hildenberger and do a really nice job. And, so it was fun to be a part of, and that's something that I will continue to kind of look to do coming into spring training again, and just to see how we can kind of work with these guys and get them to making even further strides and continuing their career and being more consistent at the big league level.
Yeah, he had a massive impact on a team that became, I thought, known for its defense. I thought defense was the hallmark of this 2017 Twins club. We saw it with Dozier, with Buxton, and you were the backbone of that, kind of setting the tone behind the plate. How do you approach your past seasons? Are you a reflexive guy? Like, will you get into the off season and kind of go back through and comb through, I should have done this, I want to do this better, I liked what I did here? Or do you kind of let it go and always face forward?
I think there's a little of both. I mean, if you're not learning from the things that either worked or didn't work, then, there's only so far you can go. I think learning from not just mistakes, but things that worked and what to improve on, is a huge part of the game of baseball. And, so I definitely kind of take stock once the season's over. You kind of, catch your breath a little bit and, figure out a game plan moving into the off season as far as, what I want to do physically, mechanically, offensive, defensively, things to work on, things to build off of that did work last year, and, things to tweak that maybe needed a little bit of work. So it's a constant game of adjustments, and there's always things that, in the past that I can look on to see, what worked, what didn't, and, how to move forward.
All right, well said. That's Jason Castro. We'll take a break here on the Hot Stove Show. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about some ways you can get involved with the Twins in the coming weeks, and we'll hear from Jason a little bit later on some Castro Christmas traditions. That's all coming up on your home for Twins baseball. This is Chris Atterbury on the radio home for Minnesota Twins baseball, 830 WCCO.
Shut out the Orioles.
Twins win 4-3,
and the Twins walk off.
News Radio, 830 WCCO.
Welcome back to the Twins Hot Stove Show. Chris Atterbury with you. I want to thank Derek Falvey, who kicked things off for us here on our first edition of the Twins Hot Stove Show, and Jason Castro as well. We'll rejoin Jason from Lake Tahoe here momentarily. We'll do a little Christmas with the Castros and have him step into the box and take three cuts. In the meantime, we're here to help you this holiday season. What a great time to join the Twins season ticket holder family. You can enjoy guaranteed benefits and rewards throughout the season, like 10% merchandise discount at every game, early entry batting practice, priority for seat upgrades, and enjoy a host of many other benefits exclusive only to Twins season ticket holders. And oh, by the way, you get to go watch the Twins play. This is an exciting team. It's going to be a really, really fun summer at Target Field. And with your season tickets, you'll never have to wonder if you can find a chair. There are great plan options, full seasons, half seasons. You can get the best seats. Use the flex plan if you want. Select your game dates based on your schedule. You can look at tickets right now. And, again, a great way to fill a stocking this holiday season for spring training. Who doesn't want to think about baseball in the sun? You can look ahead to Twins Fest as well. And also Twins Winter Caravan might be coming to your part of Twins territory. But as we approach Christmas, great holiday gift idea. Give the gift of Minnesota Twins baseball, and you can do it in so many ways from this season to the next. It's a great time to be a Twins fan. For more information, visit twinsbaseball.com or call 1-800-33-TWINS. Again, it's twinsbaseball.com or 1-800-33-TWINS. This holiday season, do yourself and all the folks on your giving list a favor. Give them the gift of Twins baseball. And speaking of Christmas, we're going to do a little Christmas with the Castros. We rejoin Jason Castro coming up next right here on the Twins Hot Stove Show, right here on your home for Twins baseball.
This is WCCO, the radio home of Minnesota Twins baseball.
Welcome back. One final segment here on the Hot Stove Show. Jason Castro, kind enough to join us. We've already talked about baseball, so let's get away from baseball and let's have Jason dig in for three cuts. It's going to be a Christmas edition, Jason. It's really Christmas with the Castro. So here's your first question. In your opinion, and this is a controversial subject, what is the appropriate time to put up a tree and or Christmas lights? Are you like a pre-Thanksgiving guy, right after Thanksgiving? Do you need to wait a little longer?
I think I'm in the camp that waits until after Thanksgiving is over. Yeah, I think that's kind of how we've always done it. And I kind of laugh when you drive around town and you see the Christmas decorations up and it's still like end of October, not even quite November yet. So I'm leaning towards, you know, at least Thanksgiving, you know, end of November, getting into December.
And where are you on real tree, fake tree? Do you have a strong preference?
So I have to confess this year, so we have our first, my wife and I had got our first tree in our home up in Tahoe, and it is a fake tree. It looks real, but it is fake, and it's actually been really nice. There's no cleanup, no mess, and it's less of a headache than a real tree. Growing up, we had real trees, and I kind of got to see a little bit of what that entailed, and so we went the fake route.
Now, to be fair, you're surrounded by real trees. You just have to step outside there, so you still get the smell.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, right.
Favorite Christmas carol or movie or TV special that you set your holiday by?
I don't know if I have a favorite Christmas carol. I always loved Home Alone growing up. I used to love to watch that, like around Christmas time, obviously. And The Christmas Story was another good one that we used to try to watch. So, yeah, a couple oldies, but, you know, ones that always kind of make you reminisce a little bit about childhood and past Christmases.
Yeah, you California kids are like, why can't you lick the pole? I don't get it. It's 70
exactly,
degrees out.
Yeah.
I don't understand the problem. All right, final question, three cuts with Jason Castro. You probably saw on social media a lot of your teammates sharing their family Halloween costumes. You know, Joe was Beauty and the Beast and Vargas, Gibson. If it came down to your current teammates, who do you think would send the best Christmas card, one you'd be proud to put on the mantle, and who would you be tucking away in the back behind, you know, the bulbs where no one could see it?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'm going to have to go with the one that's probably one you can bank on is going to be a solid card, would probably be Joe. I think the Mowers would do it right and you know, have some sort of nice theme going on. and then tucked away back in the back of the back of the pile, I'd probably have to say Escobar for some reason. I feel like his costume would be just way over the top and just something you wouldn't want to look at all the time.
I think that's a very fair statement. Jason, we appreciate your time, your honesty. Enjoy your fake tree and enjoy your family Christmas there. And we can't wait to see you healthy and ready to go in year two in a Twins uniform.
All right, yeah, we will. Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Three quality cuts there, Christmas cuts from Jason Castro, and we appreciate Jason joining us here on our inaugural edition of the Twins Hot Stove Show as we head towards the 2018 season. Our thanks to Derek Falvey as well and all of you for sharing this Wednesday night with us. Now, we will be with you every Wednesday night from 6 until 6:30, right up into spring training and on into the regular season here with the Twins Hot Stove Show. We hope to see you back here next week, same time, with more great Hot Stove Chatter right here on your home for Twins Baseball.